What's up, everybody, and welcome to Warp Point Weekly, your source for nerdy news. This week, I'm joined by Jay.
What's up?
Bren had some stuff going on, so he wasn't able to join us, but he will be back, you know, for our normal shows and stuff, so we'll see him shortly. This week is busy with some stuff going on. By the time this comes out, E3 will be over, but when recording this, we're only one day into E3. So look for our E3 show, which will be out later. Actually, it should be out the same day this comes out, but we'll see. But we have to start this the way that we always start our shows. Jay, what you been up to, buddy?
Oh, man. So I'm finishing Deadwood. Like, we're on season 3. We got to finish that out. Then we watch a movie. Yeah, they really could not do that show today. It didn't originally have the N-word in it, and it hit heavy once some characters started coming in. One character is even named after it. So, yeah, it's interesting because you can't really talk about that.
Right.
Be like, yeah, this character. Wait, what's the character's name?
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Darker complexion. Still getting into, still doing Borderlands, grinding out Borderlands 3 content. Nice. We actually have a story about
we do
spinoff, so that's going to be interesting. I got some thoughts on that. Yeah, that's pretty much the short of it. Working yard work. I can say officially, I have fought against a mass swarm of cicadas and won.
Oh, nice. See, we haven't had any cicadas here yet.
Oh, they just moved over to this part of town. Like, they were originally east. Like, the missus's parents were, like, super hit with it.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I've never seen this many cicadas, even, like, the Brutex 17 years ago. And then, all of a sudden, they started coming over this way. So, I'm just mowing my yard. You know, it's got 2 weeks of mowing, so I'm just trying to make sure it's cut.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting hit with shit. And I'm not scared of them. Like, I'll grab a cicada up and hold it in my hands and everything. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
I just don't like being touched by things I can't see. So as soon as it hits me, I freak out. And, like,
right.
I yelled it loud as hell. Like, I could hear it through the mower and my headphones. So I was like, you bug-eyed bastards, leave me the fuck alone. I'm sure my neighbors got a great show from that. I was hoping it was being recorded.
Can I get a copy of that?
Yeah, if I see it going viral, like, man gets attacked by cicadas while mowing, I'm definitely sharing that shit. Like, this is me! Those bastards!
See, like, I know a couple years ago we had some bad cicadas out here. I can't remember what the brood was, but I was driving my Miata at the time, so anytime I had to top down, it was like I had to have bomber goggles on and shit.
Well, that's a thing, too. Every time we're driving, I'm, like, smacking them.
Yeah.
Every single time. They're so fucking fat, you can see them in the air. It's like, there's one.
Yeah.
Other than my fight with nature, everything's been all right. Everything's been, you know,
nice.
Steady.
Yeah. And,
not really too eventful in terms of life, but eventful in the ways of, that's kind of funny.
As for me, me and Brent have been playing Final Fantasy 10 or 14. I did a lot on my own with that, actually, the past couple of days, trying to get back into it. Last week we had our stream-a-thon and we ended up raising over $1,300 for the Trevor Project.
Nice.
So, and we're still, figuring everything out. So the total might go up a little bit. But we will have an update on that whenever it's all confirmed and everything. We did that.
Stay glued to the socials. We'll definitely be posting something.
Yeah. So we did that. I've been watching Full Metal Alchemist again. The regular, not the Brotherhood. I'm going to watch the OG and then watch the Brotherhood just to see the differences again.
It's big.
Well,
first half of the show.
I was going to say the first half, like the first 12 or 14 episodes were pretty similar. And then after that, I know it separates because that's whenever the OG got ahead of the manga and kind of made up their own shit.
Yeah.
And then Brotherhood follows the manga. So.
Oh, yeah. And to me, Brotherhood, I don't know if it's just because I had more of an emotional connection to the story, because I will admit, when I was young, and they aired that final episode on Adult Swim, there was a tear. And the first thought that went through my mind is, now what the fuck am I supposed to be watching?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I still remember that ending. I didn't even watch all of it. I caught to a certain point. I stopped watching it because, you know, kid ADD brain. And then I watched the ending. But, you know, through years, I caught up and then Brotherhood came out. And then I watched Brotherhood and I'm like, this story has so much depth and emotion. And it's so sad and it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's the thing. Like, I feel with it too, is like the OG is like condensed a lot because, like, even watching through and, you know, I don't think it's the spoilers for a 20-year-old show.
No.
Whenever, you know, Tucker does the whole Chimera with Nina and Alexander. Like, in the show, the OG, it was like, there was like an episode of build up to it.
Yeah.
And then it's done. And I was like, I remember more to this, I feel like. And it wasn't like as traumatic. And I know that, like, you know, it's coming. So you're prepared for it.
The thing with Brotherhood is it was one of those shows that expected the audience to know the original source material.
Right.
But it was so well written that you didn't need to know the original source material.
Yeah.
Like, they never talked about the gold incident where, I can't remember his name, but the corrupt officer was mining
trying
to get gold and this whole village was suffering over it.
Yeah, he was doing taxes and stuff. The alchemy
trick of making it look gold. So he bought out the camp and then he got away and, you know, ruined his life because everybody found out he was corrupt and everybody, you know.
Yeah,
he lost his standing. Well, when you see him in Brotherhood, it doesn't really discuss that. It just goes, yeah, these fucking kids ruined my, you know, life.
Yeah.
And, there was a couple small things like that. So they didn't really need to go into too much depth.
Right.
About the Nina episode. They just needed to hit it.
Yeah.
I actually showed the missus Brotherhood over the original Full Metal because I was like, you know, she's new to anime. I'm not gonna waste her time. I'm gonna give her like the in-depth story.
Well, see, the other thing too,
to explain some things, I'll explain them. But
the other thing too with that is, you know, it wasn't necessarily they wanted you to know the source material. It's that a lot of that shit was written for fluff because they were trying to follow manga, but then they just like ran out of stuff and was like, well, we got to go take our own route.
I think Lior is like only like two or three chapters.
Yeah.
Like it's a small portion in the manga, but in the regular show, it's like a good about five episodes, I think.
I don't think it was material. I don't think it was that long.
Well, I can't remember how long.
Well, I'm 20 episodes in. So
it's been so long since I've watched the original series.
Yeah. I'm literally at the part where they go into the factory and there's the two suits of armor that are like Al.
Oh, yeah. The fifth lab.
Yeah. And, you know, there's Barry the Chopper. He's in the one. And then the two brothers that were the Slicer are in the other suit of armor. And that there, I think, is two or three episodes long, which was great. But
I think it was done better in Brotherhood.
But, like, that's the first time that the Humunguli reveal themselves to Ed. And that's whenever Al gets, like, his doubts about him being real and stuff, so.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, you could put memories into this. And then that big old fight between him and Ned.
Yeah.
That ends with them just fighting. Like, hey, I've never beat you before, right? Let's spar.
Yeah.
And that was another thing, too, with them having two brothers. They had the ability of one being a great alchemist and one being a good martial artist.
Yeah. Well, and both of them took skills from each other, too. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like my favorite. My second favorite. Okay. It's top five favorite anime. Yeah.
I thought about getting a transmutation circle, but there's just so many that I'd want.
Well, see, that I thought about getting Al's blood seal.
I thought about getting the crimson an alchemist. Instead of on my hands, just get them on my wrist.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about getting Ed's blood seal on the back of my neck. Or Al's blood seal on the back of my neck.
Yeah. There's that, and then there's the Flame Alchemist, which that one is a really complex, detailed line. So, I mean, that would be hard to do.
But yeah, other than Full Metal.
God, we just went on the rails on Full Metal on that one.
Yeah. there hasn't been too much else. Like I said, playing 14, we've been playing Warzone. Haven't really done too much Destiny. I need to get back into that.
I do too. Been kind of waiting for crossplay so we can try to move that on the list of games we play on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that too. You know, I have everything. The only thing that sucks, I have to rebuy all the expansions, and I think that I might do them on Stadia, because then then I have the portability to play it wherever I want.
Nah.
Hey, I mean, Stadia is still the best way to play Cyberpunk, so.
Nah.
Don't get me, I actually really enjoy Stadia.
Yeah.
Like it.
I know you do. I just don't have one. That's all it is. So I can't really compare it to anything.
I
was pumped for it when it first came out with that, the idea. I was like, holy shit, you can take this anywhere.
Well, see, and a lot of people are like, oh, Stadia is dead, this, that, and the other thing, because, you know, their own studios died off. So now there's only third-party studios. But, like, you know, Capcom, Resident Evil, Destiny, Cyberpunk, the big games are on it.
I mean, if game developers are going to put their games on it, I mean, yeah, why not?
And like I said, the fact that I could just carry it around in a Chromecast.
Yeah.
And now they're actually adding support to smart TVs to where you could just download the app to them.
I won't be able to have it because I got a Fire TV.
Well, you might be able to get it on Fire TV.
Yeah, that hits in the Amazon's target, or I can't really say target demographic, but what they're trying to tap into.
With Luna?
The Luna and shit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Luna's going to take off.
Yeah, no, probably not. I mean, their game studios crashed and burned really quick, so.
Yeah, but even then, you could just throw it up on your Chromecast, on a Chromecast, you know?
Yeah. I'll probably look into Chromecast, honestly.
Well, like I said, and you know, just keep a lookout, because, like, even with Resident Evil, they had the deal where if you pre-ordered the game for $60...
You got one.
You got the controller and the Chromecast for free.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, it's, I think right here with the remote and Sky Blue, it's like $50.
Yeah.
That's really not that bad for a console.
Right.
Buy the controller and then buy the games.
Yeah. You know, and games are $60. If you do the subscription like I do, which I think is $8 or $10 a month, there's a bunch of free games that come with it.
Hmm.
And yeah,
good games or fluff games?
Some good, some fluff. Let me see here, Stadia. I can tell you the games list right now. Those are the games I already own. So, Stadia Pro deals, Stadia Pro games, Resident Evil 7, Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 3, Wise 7, Trine 4, Little Nightmares 2, then there's a bunch of fluff games like Journey to the Savage Planet, Invector, Pixel Junk Raiders, Floor Kids, Blue Fire. But then
I never heard of them, but you know that there could be some gems in that.
Right. Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
That right there, just by title, is a gem. I think I've heard about that. I just never got to play it.
PUBG's on it.
Okay, so, I mean, that...
Everspace.
I know there's a PUBG community, but is it still as big as it was back then? Because hardly ever see PUBG.
Listen, you can play SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Sold.
Sold. Humans Fall Flat, Hotline Miami, Hitman the Complete First Season, Orcs Must Die, MotoGP 20, SteamWorld Dig. They used to have F1 on here because I was playing it, but I guess they don't now. But then, like, the Destiny base game with it being free is free on here.
Yeah.
You know what? It might be in free-to-play games. I didn't even think about that. Oh, no. Free-to-play games, there's Beta, Starter Edition, Destiny 2, Hitman, Free Starter Pack, and Super Bomberman Online. So, I mean, it has a decent lineup of games.
Yeah, that's really not bad for free. I mean, you know, you play monthly. I mean, I paid $10.69 for Game Pass, and I'm
yeah,
I'm on it, but I'm not on as on it as I normally should be for paying.
You know, and then, like, right now, the there's a pre-order for Rainbow Six Extraction.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. That looks weird.
It's $80. You get Rainbow Six Siege and Extraction, and you get 18 extract operators and Siege instantly, and it supports crossplay and cross-progression. You receive the game, all cosmetic items, XP boosters for post-launch events, and a permanent 10% discount in-store game, in the store in-game.
So you get a... I don't think anybody's ever done that before. I don't think anybody's ever done a discount for buying the next game in microtransactions. You know what? I'm going to start calling microtransactions just microaggressions for gamers.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so, and I guarantee that, you know, it says you can play this game in 95 days. So I bet that they're going to come out with another one of them deals where for $60, you could get just the base game and get the Stadia deal with it, the controller. And
depends on the hype. Because if people, because that's why you got it, was because of Cyberpunk.
Well, I got it for Cyberpunk. Like I said, I know they had it for Resident Evil, and they had it for one other game in between those two, too. So yeah, I mean, they're so funny. There's a great list on there, dude. Like, next time I come out and hang out, I can bring it and you can try it. You know what I mean? So you can see the lag and shit, that there isn't really any.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand, like, when it first came out, obviously technical issues and people are going to hit it hard, because, I mean, that was its main selling point.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're still supporting it, it's only going to get better.
Well, a lot of people were knocking it at first because, like, there wasn't as many games that were included with the Stadia Pro thing. You know, so they're like, oh, so you're just buying the stuff to buy games on it. And I was like, well, yeah, it's what you do with a console. But, yeah. You know, now they're trying to...
Try playing PC where you upgrade your stuff every so often, like your keyboard, your mouse. That shit, right. That shit ain't cheap. There's $200 keyboards out there. There's $200 mice out there.
Yeah. And the nice thing about this, too, is you can play it on your PC.
Yeah.
You know, and... As long as the control, because the controller goes off of your Wi-Fi, your internet. So as long as you're in your network, you go to the Stadia website and you hit sync controller, and it'll throw a button combination up on screen. You hit and hold the center button on the controller, and then you just put that button combination in and it syncs it to that screen.
I see. I like that idea.
And you could do it to your phone screen. You could do it to your computer, you can do it to the Chromecast, and then, like, say, okay, well, you go to somebody else's house. Well, then you just go onto the app on your phone and sync to network, and then you just connect to the network on your phone and then put the button combination into the controller, and now it's synced to that network.
Gotcha.
You know, so you could just jump back and forth real easy. And yeah, like, it's really innovative. You know, I just think that maybe the world isn't ready for cloud gaming yet.
It's world and tech. Like, we need faster internet speeds to rural areas. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
There ain't shit. And it's a city, but it's also a rural city. So, like, we don't have fiber.
And that's...
There's very few places that have fiber in Richmond.
That's the other nice thing, too, with the Stadia, is you can set the quality. So you can set it at 720, 1080, or 4K. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the 4K is beautiful. I have it hardlined to my TV. Well, I have the Chromecast hardlined because the plug actually has a hardline in it, so you can hardline the Chromecast.
Man, I need a 4K for my PC, but graphics cards.
Yeah.
Best I can do is 1080. Even then, I have to drop it down for frame rate.
Oh, see, I can run 1440 on some stuff.
I haven't even tried it.
But yeah, so let's move forward with the news. Up first, and this is something that we briefly mentioned with the Stadia stuff and Resident Evil, Capcom is facing a $12 million lawsuit after a data leak shows it's allegedly stole photos for Resident Evil. There's a photographer that's accusing the company of using more than 80 textures without permission. And that it used unlicensed images and titles, including Resident Evil 4 and Devil May Cry. And if you look at it, I mean, there's a lot of times that you can see it and go, yeah. Come on, Capcom, you're better than this.
Yeah, you got the money to get these textures and pay for them.
Well, not only that, like, you could probably very easily have been like, hey, we'll give you $100,000 to use these pictures. You know, there's 100 pictures. We're paying $1,000 a picture. You're a no-name artist. We'll give you credit, so you'll get hype and publicity out of it. And then it would have been okay and good. Well, now the photographer, where is it at? Judy Jurasek. Yeah, Jurasek has filed a lawsuit against a Japanese game company alleging it used photos from her copyrighted book, Surfaces, which was originally published in 1996. Okay, so they went even further and they used pre-published pictures. The book has a collection of over 1,200 photographs from textures photographed by the author. According to the book's description, the images are intended for visual research. The collection comes with a CD-ROM of images, but Jurasek says she requires companies to license the images. Basically license the images if they're going to be used for commercial use, and Capcom did not do that.
So I have an idea because I'm going through these pictures right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is Devil May Cry.
There's
a few Resident Evil things.
Yeah.
There's some on 4. But like image 1, image 2, image 3, image 4, I think image 5 are all Devil May Cry.
Well, no, image 1 is Resident Evil, 2 is Resident Evil.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it even says.
Yeah, well, it's got both of them, cuz you see that health bar on the bottom and the UI on the second one, that's Devil May Cry. The top one is the Resident Evil library. They reused it for on the door.
That little door. So the bottom one with the health bar, that's RE Umbrella. Oh,
yeah, that's right. I saw the guns and I got confused. Which good then, on them for using the same asset in the future game.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of kicking them in the ass now.
But yeah, even like...
Well, I was going to say Devil May Cry was originally a canceled Resident Evil project. So
yeah.
There could have been a lot of... I'm going to call it what it is. There could have been a lot of stealing and plagiarizing.
Yeah.
Just simply because they didn't have as much time to put out a full-fledged game with their own assets.
But yeah,
I'm trying to give them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt on that one, but this is pretty damning.
Yeah. And there's been other reports against them as well that... there's allegations made by Dutch filmmakers for plagiarizing a monster design used in Village. Another artist is claiming that the Japanese publisher used a design featured in his 2013 horror film.
Which I want to know who they're talking about.
It's Richard Raforst.
No, I mean monster. Oh, wait, there's a link to that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Pillar Head. That's who it was. Yeah. Yep. Which, I mean, I get it. You know, it definitely does look pretty damning. But it's literally a dude with an engine for a head. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, hey, well, yeah, you did steal my idea. I mean, it's pretty plain and clear.
Yeah, but there is one, because this is a type in the game. There's a few of them. But there's like a Big Daddy Boss one that actually has his like arm cut off from the propeller, so he doesn't have arms because the propellers were too big and it deformed him.
But
even more,
yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes from this. Like I said, it's a $12 million lawsuit, and it's all because of a data leak. So hey, keep a better wraps on your data and this shit won't come out.
Yeah, because, I mean, Devil May Cry came out in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
These aren't, like, new. I mean, Resident Evil 4 was the newest, but then even now they're sitting there. There's a lawsuit against them for a monster design, so.
Well, I think that this lawsuit, like, the other artists are joining into the lawsuit.
Yeah, they're agreeing with it. That way it has more backing.
Yeah. So, and, you know,
if it's peer reviewed among artists and they're like, yeah, this is plagiarizing, a judge is going to be like, yeah, it definitely is. You can't really say it's not.
Yeah. So, there's two ways to go about it. One, secure your data a little better, or, you know, delete the data.
People.
Or two, yeah, pay the fucking people. Pay for the content you're going to use. You know, it's like if we tried to do something on Twitch with copyrighted music, we get a strike, we get taken down.
Big companies don't really have that. They just have to pay restitution.
Yeah, now they're just paying restitution.
If it this $12 million in damages, right?
Oh, they nothing. No, they made that on Village Easy.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And this goes all the way back. You know, and that's what I mean. Like, maybe she should be suing not for like a set sum of money, but like a percentage, or like royalties.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pay me, you know, whatever, 7%. Of your profit off of each game used. So we sold 40 million copies of Resident Evil 4 in the past, you know, however many years it's been.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay 7% of that.
Yeah. And I mean, she does this for a living because, like, in the article itself says the collection comes with a CD-ROM of the images.
Yeah.
So people can use them, but you are required to
get a license
for it.
Right.
Like any other artist would want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to put, hey, this is such and such by so-and-so, unless you steal it.
Right.
And then you got to be like, hey, this is the original source material we have. We got it from.
Well, even then. Really
put that at a game trailer.
Even then.
Pay the people.
Yeah. The if it's used for commercial use, like even if they said that and didn't buy a license, they can get in trouble for it. But just buy the license. You know, especially from being from Capcom, just buy the license. You know better than this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what was Capcom's standing back then?
Well, this would have been like the first Devil May Cry, but Capcom has been out for,
I mean, they've
since
been
the 80s.
Consistency, yeah.
You know,
Bomberman.
Yeah, I was going to say, so they began in 79. As a manufacturer of and distributor of electronic game machines.
And then they end up becoming a game studio.
Right, yeah.
No, this ain't a good look for Capcom.
No, not at all. And I mean, they got Monster Hunter, Street Fighter, Mega Man, Devil May Cry, Dead Rising, Onimusha, Ace Attorney, Lost Planet.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, this is, if it's not just a Resident Evil Devil May Cry thing, because I said Devil May Cry was done by the original, or one of the studios that did Resident Evil before it became, you know, the Devil May Cry team.
Right.
So there could be some overlapping there from using textures and all that. But there's no excuse for, like, the Resident Evil 7 or 8 controversy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's laziness at this point.
Well, Street Fighter 2, which released for the SNES, sold 6.5 million copies.
Yeah, they got enough money.
So, yeah, they had enough money in 2000 to, and that was in 92. In 98, Resident Evil 2 came out.
Yeah.
Which sold 5 million copies.
Yeah, there was a lot of games that came out right before this. They could have paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't simping for Capcom.
No.
They
so
make a lot of games.
They do. They have their hand in a lot of different things. You know, and the Resident Evil series alone has over 100 million copies sold.
They just did the 25th anniversary, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, Capcom, pay your fucking dues, basically.
That's our standing on it.
Yeah.
Up kind of obvious they did it.
Right? Yeah. You could just see it. If you guys haven't seen it, you can search it and find it really quick and easy.
Yeah.
Up next, we have information on the new Battlefield. And Jay, I mean, we talked about it before.
I'm excited. As a first-person shooter fan, I'm excited.
So it's 2042.
Yep.
We know that the world is on the brink. Shortages of food, energy, and clean water have led to dozens of failed nations, creating the greatest refugee crisis in human history.
Yeah. So it's like it's an eco story, which, I mean, that's the big buzzword right now, climate change and all that.
Right.
But, you know, I like post-apocalyptic events anyways. I mean, it's another line from the to go towards dystopian future.
So in this story, there are two different factions and a couple of different things. You have your non-patriotic or no-pats, which are families, farmers, engineers, and soldiers. And during this crisis, the United States and Russia have launched into a full-out war. And the non-Pats join both sides, not fighting for a flag, but for the future of the non-patriotic in this world.
I gotta say, though, I like the idea, even though, I mean, we fight Russia all the time in video games now, yeah, at this point. But we're not fighting China. Battlefield 4 was China.
Right.
It was the U.S. versus China.
Yeah.
So U.S. versus Russia with an actual, like, kind of like a Civil War tie-in, more or less, where, like, brother is killing brother on their homeland, but because they're fighting for an idea, not a
country. Yeah. So one of the things that we do know is that we are going to have 128 player maps on the latest consoles, so next gen and PCs. So it's going to add a whole new dimension to multiplayer battles.
Well, they were already like 64 people lobbies.
So, and that's what the PS4 and Xbox One Series X and S are going to be at.
It's going to be scaled down for PS4 and Xbox One. So,
yeah,
we already know that. I don't know if they actually said it, but the pre-rendered trailer was using the game engine,
right?
And it was loaded with so much like Battlefield things. Like there was. You watched it, right?
Oh, yeah.
The moment where the plane goes up in the air and jumps out with the rocket launcher, shoots the other plane, jumps in it, that was the meme for Battlefield
right.
for a while. That was like the, like, everybody lost their fucking mind that somebody was able to do that.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, we'll have an actual gameplay trailer. So, yeah, stay tuned for our thoughts on that. We do know that there are some new modes coming, which one of them is All Out Warfare, which is your 128 player large scale battle. And the maps are going to be filled with dynamic weather, environmental hazards, and all kinds of just crazy stuff from tornadoes to sandstorms.
Well, the thing too is like I got into Battlefield 1, and then I bought Battlefield 4 right after because I was like, all right, I played World War 1.
Right.
Let's see the modern take on it. You know, I was a COD fanboy for like ever. Never gave Battlefield its due.
Right.
Just saw videos and was like, it looks all right, but it's not something I think I'd get into. I like arcade shooters. And then I got into it. There was a dynamic weather system in Battlefield 1 that like certain desert maps would randomly kick up sandstorms.
Yeah.
And I mean, just it adds a level to gameplay. Because the map is like, there's certain things that are going to happen.
Right.
Like in Battlefield 4, there was a map where it had this big tower in like, I want to say it was like a resort area that you were fighting in. You could shoot down the tower and like kill everybody or like a certain thing triggered it and it fell. And then you'd have the ruins you would fight on.
Right. You actually have like full scale destruction.
Yeah. So it adds different elements to it and actually makes you feel like the world's changing. And that's why I like Battlefield 1 when I started playing with it. I was like,
yeah, you hit it
with a tank rifle and destroy buildings on people.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to have the All Out Warfare. And then we're also going to have Hazard Zone, which is an all new high stakes squad based game that is a modern take on multiplayer experience that is distinctly dice, but very different from All Out Warfare's Conquest or Breakthrough mode.
Yeah, because Conquest had capture the points and kill.
Right.
So that's how you would raise up the point. Another thing about Battlefield that's interesting too is it's how good you are isn't based on your shooting ability.
Right.
It's based on how well you play the objective and carry wins.
So yeah, we're gonna be getting a gameplay trailer this week during E3, or we would have had it already when this comes out.
Yeah.
But they are saying that most of the details on this game will be in July 22nd for the EA Play Live. So
I'm all right with. It's a gameplay trailer, so I'll have enough to like tear apart and try to figure out from that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good month of time before anybody figures out every single piece of detail from just a gameplay trailer.
So Battlefield 2042 is available now for pre-order and set to launch on retail and digital storefronts October 22nd. EA Play
is going to be right before Call of Duty.
Yeah. EA Play members get a 10-hour trial starting October 15th. EA members and players who pre-order will receive early access to the open beta. And players who pre-order have three different editions to choose from the Gold Edition for $90 on PC and $100 on console, the Ultimate Edition for $109 on PC and $119 on console. So $110 and $120, really.
Yeah, $99.
Yeah. And then there's the standard editions, which are going to be $60 on last gen consoles and $70 on next gen.
I think it's going to be $60 on PC, though.
Yeah, $60 on PC. It's $60 on Xbox One, PS4, and PC, and $70 on Series X, S, and PS5.
That's what I saw. Yeah, I just saw that now, which the only reason I was guessing that's because, I mean, they're Gold Edition and Ultimate Edition were like $10 cheaper.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe we're finally getting to a point now where games are more expensive for consoles than PC.
Right. Gotta make that money.
Money, money, money.
So up next, we got a couple of takes on Netflix. And first of all is we are getting a live action Cowboy Bebop.
I have no hope for this.
Now, one of the taglines for this and like the thing it's trying to draw people in is the original composer, Kano, is also on board for this. So they're going to have, you know, the original music composer doing the music for the live action.
It's a good sign. Still no hope for it.
You know, and even like the Netflix geeked Twitter is like, hey, look, you know, the composer behind the iconic soundtrack is also creating the soundtrack for the new live action series. But yeah,
also confirmed it's coming this fall,
right? But we're gonna have to see. There's no real look at it yet, but we do know the casting.
Yeah
The casting is definitely interesting.
Yeah, I don't know about it, but
yeah,
here's the thing with adaptations, and I'll be the first to say it. I never have faith in adaptations until I watch it.
Fair. They're few and far between that are good.
Yeah, Witcher's good. There's some issues that some people have with it being fans, but I, as somebody who wanted to get into the Witcher universe, it's a pretty good take.
Really right.
Well done on certain things. There's a couple other adaptations that they've done. Even if it's cheesy, like the Resident Evil movies, like not the live action movies, but the
right.
CGI movies.
Yeah.
I like them. I don't care. It's a guilty pleasure. They had a blooper reel on, I think it was Devastation, the one with Claire and Leon back.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
They had a blooper reel at the end of it. And if you could find the YouTube link, it is the funniest thing to watch. Because like, it's one of those like animated bloopers. So they like change the lines up on certain things.
Yeah.
And that, like, they turn Leon into, I'm Leon S. Kennedy. I've been through some shit, man.
Right.
It makes his character a joke, and it's fucking, it's beautiful to watch. And just that alone makes me love the movie. But I don't know. Like, Castlevania was good. Castlevania was great.
Yeah.
We'll see how the spinoff's going to be. They're supposedly redoing Avatar. Like, they just don't have original ideas. And they keep taking these beloved properties and bastardizing them.
Well, like I said, Castlevania, the original Castlevania Netflix series was great. But yeah, I mean, like you said, they're few and far between, so we're going to have to see how they go.
It's going to be Death Note all over again.
Oh, God.
And that's sad. It had William Dafoe.
As long as it's not as bad as Dragon Ball.
That's the bottom. That's always going to be the bottom.
That is the bottom.
And then Resident Evil is just slightly above it. Not the first one, but the sequels afterwards.
Yeah.
They got sequelitis quick out the gate. You could have just done two or three movies.
Hey,
they went to the third movie. Hey, there's an extinction. And then like six more movies later.
Hey, they got to go the Fast and Furious route, bud.
Yeah.
So while you were talking about, you know, Netflix and The Witcher, CD Projekt Red, you know, trying to shake off that bullshit of the cyberpunk stuff, and Netflix have announced WitcherCon in July. So WitcherCon is going to be Friday, July 9th. Mark your calendars and get ready for, you know, Geralt of Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real details on it. And a couple of things were, you know, just leaked back and forth between the Twitters. And it was kind of cool watching it go back and forth in real time. But we know that Henry Cavill and Anya, I can't remember how to pronounce her last name, Claratra.
And then Freya Allen
and Joey Bately will all be back for season two. There's some new people coming. We know that. So it'll be interesting to see what all we get from this. You know, there's some speculation that we're going to get information on The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt's next gen update, which at this point, I mean, at what point do you just, I don't know.
Well, apparently they're also doing an anime film called The Witcher Nightmare of the Wolf, which is going to be a prequel series explaining the first Witcher.
Right.
So I don't know. It's
they're trying to push into the Witcher universe,
which I'm fine with. You know, if they wanted to keep expanding upon this, you know, IP that they still have control over.
Well, and let some. And maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that Nightmare Wolf and the prequel were two different things. I thought the prequel was called Blood Origin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I misread that then, yeah.
But yeah.
Blood Origin's actually going to be a film.
Yeah. So we know that they ported The Witcher to the Switch, you know, the Switcher. and it didn't play too bad, but like I said, at what point does this become too much? But they're
pulling the Fallout or the Skyrim.
Yeah.
Of re-releasing Witcher 3 on everything they can.
So the good thing about this is the same company that did the Switcher port is also doing the next gen ports. So we will see how that plays out.
Yeah. They're good at downgrading it. Are they good at upgrading it?
Yes.
That would be the real question.
Yes. And we know the problems that CD Projekt Red has had in the past.
Past, you mean yesterday?
I mean, that's technically the past, right?
Yeah, right. Push somebody over 5 minutes later. Why'd you do that? Dude, stop bringing up the past.
I'm just going to sip my tea here.
Yeah.
Careful now.
Nothing broke. We're good.
But the Saber Interactive was purchased by Nordic parent company Embracer. So
that sounds like the most Nordic company name ever.
Embracer.
Yeah.
All right. And last but definitely not least, probably the biggest thing that we have going other than E3.
Yeah.
We had the Summer Games Fest kickoff live event, and we had some big stuff come from this. And I was really hoping Brendan was going to be here for this because it's something that he's been wanting for a long time.
Yep.
So Elden Ring has finally reappeared, came back, and we have more information on it with a trailer and a release date. So we know that Elden Ring will be coming January 21st, 2020 for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and the Xbox One, as well as PC. It looks great. The trailer looked amazing. I am super hyped for this.
Mm-hmm.
We also know from this announcement that there's going to be an online multiplayer for up to 4 players.
Ooh.
You'll be able to traverse on foot or horseback, alone or online, with friends across grassy plains, suffocating swamps, and lush forests. Bandai Namco CEO has also confirmed plans to develop Elden Ring outside of games. We will continue to develop Elden Ring as not only a game, but also in a variety of other areas in order to deliver the world view and charm of this title to our fans around the world.
You know what that sounds like?
Sounds like the author for Game of Thrones realized how much money he could be making.
Well, I mean, I wonder how many people are going to die.
Everyone. Everyone dies.
In the opening trailer, everyone's going to die, and then you're going to be brought back and start over. Or some shit like that.
Pretty much what's going to happen, yeah.
Because that's the way Martin goes with it.
Oh, you're having fun? Death scene.
Yeah. So this was the first update, really, on the game since June 2019. It's also the first time anybody's seen actual gameplay.
Was there gameplay or was it like a mix?
It was a mix, but there was some gameplay in it.
Okay.
So director Hidaka Miyazaki, I butchered that, I know. With a prepared statement said, "With Elden Ring, we have applied all our dark fantasy and action RPG expertise cultivated throughout the Dark Souls series." In order to create a bold, classic evolution of the genre. You thought you died a lot in Dark Souls? Come, my friend, let me show you something.
Let me give you a series based on death.
We brought Martin into this, you know, so the master of death on screen is being brought into the masters of death in video game world, and we've created a sick love child.
Yep. Some say bastard.
Yeah. So, Miyazaki went on to say, "We've crafted a rich world with a staggering sense of scale based off of legends written for the game by George R.R. Martin. Elden Ring is a world full of mystery and peril, ready to be explored and discovered. A drama in which various characters flaunt their own mystique and ulterior motives. We sincerely hope you enjoy experiencing it for yourself."
Bum, bum, bum.
So we got 6 months till this game launches, and yeah, we are excited for it.
And
I'm
we'll
sure
get as much news for it as we did waiting up to it.
Yeah, but I'm sure Brendan will be streaming a ton of gameplay for this right off the bat.
Oh, I hope so. I want to see him rage.
Yeah. So some more stuff that we got from Summer Games Fest. Jay, I know that you were talking about this earlier.
Okay. So unexpectedly, instead of Borderlands 3 news, which, you know, I was kind of hoping for, we got a spinoff. They are going back to Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, the D&D inspired DLC, which was amazing. You literally rolled 20-sided die for loot rates. Come on now. That's amazing.
Right.
So now they're going to do a standalone where it takes place in that, you know, game world, the D&D world that she built in the first game, but it isn't anything to do with Borderlands 3.
Right. So we are
talking... Have new board. I don't know if they're going to just reuse the Vault Hunters that they have now.
So what we're talking about is Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yeah, that's.
It's described as a high fantasy take on a looter shooter, and it'll include a story-driven co-op campaign for up to 4 players, as well as repeatable endgame content in true Borderlands fashion.
Yeah, basically, it's Borderlands guns fighting dragons, skeletons, goblins, and more in a originally fantasy world made by the world's or the galaxy's deadliest 13-year-old.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a high fantasy take on a looter shooter genre. You can create and customize your own multi-class heroes and loot, shoot, slay, and cast your way through outlandish monsters and treasure-filled dungeons on a quest to stop the tyrannical dragon lord.
Yeah, the original game, the original Tiny Tina's, instead of like you could put your grenade slot with spells.
Yeah,
so you basically had spell slots, throwing lightning and fireballs and all that. So from the trailer, it looked like there's going to be something along those lines too, where like your grenade mods become spells.
Yeah. So the game's cast will include Captain Valentine, Robot Freddo, and Tiny Tina, who serves as the player's guides through a tabletop realm where rules rarely apply. As they seek to defeat the Dragon Lord, voiced by the one, the only, Will Arnett. Yeah. Lego Which, Batman.
he's got a good voice, so I'm eager to see what they do with the sense of humor Borderlands has. Because like the tabletop realm where rules rarely apply, oh, yeah. I saw it on Dragon's Keep was filled with it.
Right.
It's like you get into the first starting area and it was like, it's a lovely, lovely area. And then it's like, wait a second. No, it's dark and evil and scary and spooky and it smells like butts. And then your character's like, oh, it smells like butts in here. And it's like, oh, God. Because like she's narrating it. She's DMing this event. So, you know, she's explaining it like you would a tabletop game.
Right.
And then there's like one part where she's like, your first boss appears and it's a dragon and it kills you and you die. And it's like, wait, Tina, this ain't fair. Like they're having a background chat. Like you can't kill him off the first boss.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, all right, it's not a dragon. It's a skeleton, Mr. Bony Pants Man. He's like, I'm Mr. Bony Pants Man. And just the whole thing was just ridiculous and amazing. But it actually had a point. So like the DLC took place after a certain point in story. Spoiler alert, Roland dies. So Assault on Dragon's Keep is Tiny Tina's way of working through that. Like at the very end, you kill the handsome sorcerer who was the stand-in for Handsome Jack. And basically at the end of it, they're like, Tina, you have to admit that Roland's dead. And they're like, no, no, no. But she works her way through it type shit because she's 13 at the time.
Yeah.
So it's not as cringy as, you know, Ava is in story, but you know, she still has a moment where she you feel bad for her. You know?
Right.
Like, you know, she lost her best friend.
Yeah. So up next, we have a little bit of information, but it's still pretty vague on some original IP coming from PlayStation. So PlayStation is going to publish the debut title from Deviation Games, which is headed by former Call of Duty Black Ops veteran David Anthony and Jason Blundell.
I'm looking at Jason Blundell's abilities.
So yeah, he was co-studio head for Treyarch.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote the screenplay for Black Ops and Black Ops 2, which were the best ones in the Black Ops story.
Yeah.
Don't at me. If you do, you better agree.
As well as creating, you know, one of the lead creators for Call of Duty Zombies. So
yeah. Well, the thing too about it is Blundell had a story for Black Ops 3, but they were pushing so hard for that battle royale mode to get in on the market that they just did not care anymore.
Yeah.
They were just like, hey, you know, sorry.
So
and Blundell actually came forward and was like, there was a Black Ops 3 story.
Yeah.
There was going to be a campaign, but they decided not to.
So the pair appeared on stage at the Summer Games Fest to unveil their new studio, Deviation Games, which is developing a brand new, all-original IP. So Anthony went ahead and said, we feel so fortunate to have this incredible opportunity, one for Jason and I, to build something completely new from the ground up, to fearlessly innovate and forge an incredible community and legacy. Deviation's team is currently over 100 strong, and Anthony said he's confident the studio's project will raise a few eyebrows.
I hope in a good way.
He added, while I can confirm development is already underway, it is really early for us to be going into specific details. We're drawing on what we've learned over our collective decades making games, but we're also out to make something fresh and brimming with innovation like you've never experienced before. We're not afraid to say that our ambitions are super high. We're setting out to make a huge content-rich game with a focus on a lot of action and a lot of energy. But let's leave it at that for now, and hopefully it won't be long before we can share more. So it'll be interesting to see what comes from that. Now, we know that in March, Sony said it was funding an original IP from a AAA startup studio established by Stadia's game boss, former Stadia's game boss, Jade Raymond. And in April, it announced that it had signed an original multiplayer project from Firewalk, a new studio founded by the Bungie veterans. And of course, Bungie, you know, going back to Halo and Destiny.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. You know, there's been all kinds of claims, even from Jim himself, the head of PlayStation, that, you know, there's 25 game PS5 games in development, and over half of them are new IPs.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's a lot of stuff coming to PlayStation, which, to be honest, is why I haven't been pushing to pick up a PlayStation 5, because for me, there's just nothing that's worth getting.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Ratchet & Clank just came out, which reviews on that are excellent. People are saying that it's one of, if not the best installment into the series.
Oh, I'd imagine. I mean, they've had time to work on it for a while.
But other than that, I mean, you have Demon's Souls, which I'm not a big Souls fan, so that's all Brendan.
Yeah. Well, my dad asked me yesterday, because he's got a PlayStation 5. He's like, because he loves open world games.
Right.
He loves being able to do whatever he wants in a game.
Yeah.
And he's like, is there any good open world games for this? Because, like, I feel like I got, like, a paperweight right now. Well, it wasn't even that. He was like, my factory warranty, or my 1 year warranty, is about to expire, and I don't want something to happen to it because I'm not playing it. Or,
right,
you know, if something happens, I can get it taken care of right away. And I'm like, at this point, you're probably just going to have to work with PlayStation, because getting parts or getting a new console is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, there's like nothing. I went through GameStop just to see what was released, and there
were very
few open world games for him to play.
And that's the thing, like, everything that you can play on it is pretty much getting last gen treatment.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yeah, Miles Morales, God of War, you know, those are all, they have PS5 versions of the game, but they also have PS4 versions. Even upcoming games, including Gran Turismo 7, which is supposed to be next gen, is getting cross gen support.
Yeah, so I mean, even at this point, it's just waiting it out, waiting until games actually come out and are playable.
And I honestly think that even Integrate after 6 months is going to be cross gen.
Yeah.
You know, we brought that up a while ago with the title, or the end card had an asterisk that says, you know, PlayStation 5 timed exclusive for 6 months. Like I said, I think after 6 months it's going to pop and be cross-gen.
Maybe.
So
they already released it, so.
Yeah. So Death Stranding, we'll see. I mean, they could do it with Ratchet & Clank, too, depending on how well it sells. I mean, we just had information yesterday that Godfall is getting cross-gen treatment now. That there's a PlayStation 4 version of Godfall coming out. I mean, nobody really played it on PlayStation 5, and that could be why, but
because nobody could get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah. So Death Stranding is getting a director's cut coming soon to PlayStation 5. Kojima's production title is making the jump to PlayStation 5. The full reveal is supposedly just a few weeks away, so we'll see from that. And hopefully Kojima comes out with some other stuff, because I want some more IP from him, because I love his work, and this was an interesting take on a game, but it definitely wasn't in the top of my list for his games. In the past, about creating things, I was always thinking about what could happen in society 5, 10, or 20 years ahead. It was like predicting the future and adding the entertainment essence, and that's how I always create it. But this time, it came much too soon. Reality came much too soon, especially on Death Stranding. So I've changed now how I think and create. I've been thinking about this because it is entertainment. It has to be fun. I also want to give the player something to learn as well. But since the era is catching up so quickly, it's not just fiction anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, he's confirming that they're working on new projects. And Kojima Productions confirmed in October that it was staffing up for a new game project. And its art director said this March that the project was likely to be revealed soon. Kigley asked Kojima during Thursday's show if he could offer any details on his next game. Kojima responded, "I can't say specifically. It won't be like the past. It won't be one step at a time. It's drastic. It's a drastic change. Just like after 9/11, we have to adapt and think about new ways of creating, as entertainment cannot fall behind."
Yeah.
And this, his whole interview, that's the second time he references 9/11. So I wonder if there's like little hints about it there. Mm-hmm. Because earlier in his interview, you know, he said, "I guess all creators are thinking the same way. It's almost similar to what happened after 9/11, considering which direction we should go with entertainment."
Mm-hmm. He does that shit a lot, where he like hints to stuff.
Yeah.
Even Metal Gear 5, which was the last one that he worked on, there was like little notes and hints that he was leaving the studio.
Oh yeah. So it's nice to see some information coming from Kojima, and we're going to have to just take the Sony approach and stay tuned for more information on it.
Pretty much.
We know that there's... Oh, Metal Slug Tactics turns SNK's run and gun into a turn-based strategy game, which looks all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt is basically a vampiric battle royale.
Eh.
We know that Xbox Summer Games Fest demo event will be back next week. Tales of Arise had a trailer which features a new region and powerful attacks. Starbreeze has shown its first ever image from Payday 3. About time. Koch Media, which had an awful presentation, announced its new premium label, Prime Matter. And then, you know, a little bit later on, they're like, "Yeah, we got 12 games coming." And, you know, yeah.
There's not really anything of note besides for Payday 3, to be honest.
King's Bounty 2.
Which I never played King's Bounty, so.
But, you know, like, they didn't even really have any videos on the games. They didn't really have too much information on the games. It was, like, just an hour and, like, 20 minutes of them just talking.
Yeah.
It was a horrible presentation overall. But they came out and they said, "Prime Matter is a new home for premium games, offering both current and future partners all the expertise of Koch Media Group, alongside a new and dynamic team dedicated to maximizing their true potential. The core of the video games industry is, of course, entertainment. Prime Matter will constantly look to innovate and inspire gamers across all its activities while retaining the fundamental values of what makes our industry so special." Mm-hmm. It is interesting. I don't know that word. They're basically saying it's really fun to do this kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
They did announce that Painkiller was coming back.
Yeah, so they announced Payday 3 coming in 2023, King's Bounty 2, a turn-based strategy game in August, Encased, which is a classic Fallout-style RPG in September, Scars Above, a sci-fi action game due in 2022, Project Echoes of the End, a third-person action-adventure game using Unreal Engine 5, which they showed a screenshot of this chick doing a T-pose, so...
Mm-hmm. Not entertained.
Yeah, pretty much. Dolmen, a third-person action RPG in 2022. Final Form, a post-cyberpunk first-person shooter with three-player co-op.
But no release date.
The Chant, an action horror game coming 2022. Gungrave Gore, a third-person action shooter releasing in 2022. The Last Rikuru?
Rikuru, yeah.
An action RPG coming 2022. Crossfire Legion, a futuristic RTS due in 2022. And a new game in the Painkiller series without any more information than that.
Well, there's some like that. It links us to an article that basically says that it gives a little bit of history on Painkiller, But this new project, or this new painkiller project, is co-founded by former painkiller staff.
Oh, see, I don't even have the link. I don't know where you got that.
So if you look down in the live news of Summer's Game Fest, it's right underneath the Koch Media.
Oh, found it.
Yay.
My bad.
Oh, it's all good. But, I mean, there's not really much information on it. There's no gameplay, no trailer, not even a name. It's just, this is a painkiller game.
Yeah, it'll be developed and co-published by Saber Interactive, which is also the company that is doing the Switch ports, the PS5 and Xbox Next Gen. The game will be coming to consoles and PC, but no real information or anything confirmed. Nordic Games published Painkiller Hell and Damnation in 2012 on 360 and PS3 and PC. It was partially a remake and partially a sequel. So, yeah, I mean, we've got to just stay tuned for information on that.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they put together a better presentation next time.
Right. So, Sega has officially announced the previously leaked 2 Point Campus, which is the sequel to 2 Point Hospital, which I haven't played either of them.
No, but it looks like it's a simulation game built, or like how, I mean, just the screenshots kind of looks like a
Monster
Tycoon/SimCity style game.
Yeah, and the description is players will be in charge of developing campus grounds, buildings, and surroundings, and will be able to lay down the likes of dorms, pathways, and hedgerows to plan the campus's basic layout. Students can take part in a variety of courses, which are suitable, silly, in keeping with the comedic theme of its predecessor, 2 Point Hospital.
I mean, they got a giant-ass pizza baker, so.
Well, there's night school, where you can learn to joust and chivalry.
It's not even night school, it's night school.
Yeah, K-N-I-G-H-T. And gastronomy, where they learn how to make enormous pizzas. Okay. So, players also have to keep their students happy by making sure they have plenty of friends and extracurricular activities like gigs, sports games, and societies. Mm. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm probably not going to even play this. So the first details of 2 Point Campus leaked via Microsoft Store listing at the end of May. 2 Point Studios' first game, 2 Point Hospital, was a spiritual successor to the classic simulation title Theme Hospital, created by Bullfrog and Lionhead alumni Gary Carr, Mark Webley, and Ben Hymers. The spiritual successor was released for PC in August 2018. Sega acquired 2 Point Studios in May 2019. 2 Point Studios became wholly owned by Sega Studio alongside Creative Assembly, Sports Interactive, Relic Entertainment, Amplitude Studios, and Hardlight. So yeah, we'll see where that comes. I mean, it looks like it might be something fun, but it's nothing that I'm interested in.
I mean, a good time waster.
Yeah. So, by the time this goes live... Oh no, it won't be.
No, we'll have one more day to play on Season 3.
Yeah, so when you join... Final Fantasy Fridays. So, yeah. The new season for Call of Duty Warzone will go live June 17th. And we've seen the first trailer for it. The new season is supposed to be jam-packed with content. Johanna Ferry said during the... Yeah, that's what Johanna Ferry said during the Summer Games Fest kickoff live. They didn't share any new details on this year's Call of Duty title, which is in development at Sledgehammer.
Which is weird, because don't you think you would try to be pumping up hype, at least like release the name? Because we already know it's going to be Vanguard, but we haven't actually seen a title card for Call of Duty Vanguard.
You right. Know what I mean? Right. But yeah, the publisher is going to reveal its first person shooter entry later in the summer, likely in. In-game event free to play I am really bad at this today. Instead, the publisher has opted to reveal its next premium first-person shooter entry later in the summer, likely via an in-game event in free-to-play Warzone, as it did last year with Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah.
We know
zombies and
all
sorts of weird shit.
We know that this year's game is called Call of Duty Vanguard, developed by Sledgehammer Games, and is currently on track to release on current and last-gen consoles, plus PC, in November. Mm-hmm. We know that Vanguard will feature a campaign, multiplayer, and zombie mode set in the European and Pacific theaters of World War II, with its plot centering around the birth of modern Allied Special Forces.
They already did a World War II one, and it's been so soon since that last one. Like, you could go back to Vietnam. We just did Cold War, so it'd be a great chance to go to Vietnam and have that tie into it. You wouldn't be going back another, because you got to remember.
Like, they'll never do Vietnam.
These guns are going to be implemented into Warzone.
Oh, I know.
So you're going to have World War II guns in a new Verdansk, or hopefully a new map in general, because
it's about time.
Russia, yeah. Well, Verdansk is in Russia, and, you know, Verdansk originally had a story of, like, everything's falling apart, so it's been mass evacuated, and now all people are just fighting in Verdansk.
Right.
And then two hits, and it's like they're still fighting in Verdansk. This is layover from the Cold War, but this is why certain things are different, because it was a different time. Like, the quarry is not the quarry anymore, it's the salt mines.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's not a quarry yet.
Yeah.
You got the array tower, because they didn't have, you know,
the technology to actually just
put transmissions in the air like we have now.
So. Right.
I don't know. I'm really getting tired of it. Like, I like playing, don't get me wrong. I love it. Especially playing with you guys and, you know, my best friend when he gets on. But it's just so boring.
Yeah.
Like, Nakatomi Plaza was cool, but now we don't have anything there. And it's just, it's kind of back to the how, like, it used to be, where people just camp and snipe. Though Solos has gotten better. A lot of people have been saying that Solos now actually plays a little bit faster compared to how it used to. So, either way, I'll probably end up playing it because I'm addicted. But I'm not buying Vanguard. My money's already going towards Battlefield.
One of the last things that we've got, well, the last thing that we got, was Frontier has announced Jurassic World Evolution 2 for release on console and PC later this year. A trailer for the strategy sequel premiered during the live kickoff, where movie actor Jeff Goldblum, also Pittsburgh native, made an appearance. According to its developer, Jurassic World Evolution 2 builds upon the 2018 game with a new narrative campaign voiced by cast members from across the Jurassic world, including Dr. Ian Malcolm, voiced by Jeff Goldblum, and Claire Deering, voiced by Bryce Howard, plus four game modes and enhanced and expanded roster of dinosaurs. So basically, you're going to build your park on the confines of the Martos Archipelago, with each location bringing new terrain and challenges for players to contend with. Across the new biomes, players will contain, conserve, and care for more than 75 prehistoric species, including new flying and marine reptiles.
I like it. I don't know. I always wanted to get into Jurassic World Evolution for computer. Maybe I'll do it this year now.
Yeah, I never jumped into it, so.
I don't know. It's hard for me to focus on games like that. They're meant for a certain moment where it's like, all right,
time killers.
Relax. Yeah, I just want to relax. I just want to chill. I don't want to think about killing a bunch of things and pushing a bunch of buttons and all that. So
right. But yeah, I mean, Summer Games Fest runs all summer, obviously. So there'll be a lot of different stuff that comes from that. And it's got Jeff Keighley, however you want to pronounce him. Mm-hmm. That's up to you. And we got, like I said, we got some good stuff from the live show. I'm interested to see what comes from that. And now we have E3. So, like I said, probably the same day that this releases, we're going to do a live show for E3. So check that out. Check out all of our socials, which are in links. Either, I guess, yeah, we've just been doing this to YouTube. So it'll be links in the description below. There will be links to join our Discord. There'll be links to check out our merch. Check that stuff out. We do live stream every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Twitch and Facebook. So you can check that out as well. Again, links below. We'll have a link tree link below, which will have links to everything overall. And that's probably the best way to go.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. So you can check that out as well. We got some interesting stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. We're working with a couple people to get some exclusives for us to deal with. So look forward for that. We'll have more information on that as it becomes available. Mm-hmm. But as always, we'll catch you guys at the Warp Point.
Peace.